But take it for what it is and don't get stuck in dwelling upon it. And go on and live your life to the best of your abilities right now.
Oh, no, I was just curious. Another, one more question. You've been quoting, you spoke earlier about the gurus who came to try to...
flood the Western world.
Right.
Give us some other thought.
Isn't one man's truth another man's hearsay? I mean, somebody says now, what I say that somebody said such and such, it's hearsay. Now, everyone is supposed to find the truth. Now listening to other people, his truth doesn't have to be my truth.
You're exactly right. Each person has their own path to tread. And another person's path doesn't mean it's your path. And many people try to follow in the footsteps of Shirley MacLaine saying, if I do what she does, I go to Peru and I sit in a hot tub and a mineral bath and I meditate for 4 days or whatever, then I'm going to have the experience she had. It doesn't work like that.
So why bother trying, your organization is trying to, enlighten people to be aware, but isn't the point of reincarnation, the whole point of it is each stage, the person comes back, he learns more and more. So what we do as physical, here in the physical world, is can really have no real effect because we have to see it for ourselves.
Right.
I'm precognitive. I'm psychic. I've astral projected many times. And
you
this
do?
All came about because of something. One day, it came to me. I didn't, it opened itself to me, whatever it is. I didn't, go reading, books or anything like that, and suddenly, poof,
You had an experience.
Yeah, plenty of them.
Steve, you're another person that goes out of body? Everybody in Los Angeles goes out of body, but Bill, I get tired of hearing that.
I've had things where, let's say my roommate once got hurt in water sports, and I have this, my own way of meditating on things that trouble me and seeking answers that way, and I was able to, I knew before he returned exactly where he went, whether he went to the local clinic to take care of it, maybe it was a minor thing, or to a big hospital. In fact, I knew what time he had returned that night. Right then, I knew his whole progress
that
night.
Let me explain that that people who feel very close to another person, and often is the case with twins, that the intuitive faculties are developed to the point where there is a connection, where you can feel or know something's happening at the exact moment that it's happening, without any confirmation until you get in contact with the person. That's just part of living and being more in tune with your other abilities.
We're beginning to understand the physics and dynamics behind that, in fact, Steve, as we get into
the interferometry. He was just a roommate. I didn't know him that well. I wasn't really friends with
him. You were close to him, anyway.
A roommate. For example, when the Pope, when John Paul died, and they picked John Paul the First, who died 30 days later, when they pick and they burn the white smoke and the black smoke, I remember sitting there in front of the TV set waiting for the decision of the cardinals of the Vatican, and they're explaining about the smoke, and just it hit me, the smoke's going to come out gray. And the first vote they did, the smoke came out gray, and everyone was confused. And things like that. I lost my boa constrictor at one time.
You've obviously had a lot of precognitive things happen to you, Stu. Did we help you here?
You sure did. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very
much.
Good night. All right.
Good night.
We have to move on. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me is Kerry Williams. You're on Open Mind on Talk Radio's Nation, A New Horizon in Science, Religion, Society. She co-authored it with Sylvia Cranston, and she is our guest tonight. They've done a lot of extensive research into this really burning subject. Here in Los Angeles and all over the country, people are beginning to take a different view about the reality of reincarnation and get it out of the mysticism of religion and into some factual data.
Yes.
And it seems that the data is so strong about the reality of reincarnation that the burden of proof rests upon those who disagree. And the only source they have is usually the Bible.
Yes.
Which is a mystical thing there because they say God wrote it. And so now we're talking mysticism against a lot of fact. How is that balance going around the world now?
Well, the latest Gallup poll shows that approximately 25% of the American population over the age of 18 believes in the concept of reincarnation. And it was explained not that you that we believe in immortality, but that you re-enter a new body. The definition of reincarnation was explained, and 25% believed in it as of 1982. What's interesting is that Catholics, Protestants, and many of the religions that do not teach reincarnation had very high percentages believing in reincarnation. So obviously, people are taking what they hear and still going on and assimilating their own ideas and concepts as to the meaning of life, the meaning of our own personal existence. And what's really interesting is many people say reincarnationists are just fanciful thinkers. They can't accept the fact that they're mortal, that they're going to die, this is one life, and it's over. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they have to have this glorified idea of immortality.
And they're going to go to heaven or hell.
And bring them back. Well, if you understand that the idea of reincarnation is inextricably woven together with the twin doctrine, its twin, known as the doctrine of karma, reincarnation and karma are inseparable. We have many lifetimes in order to create balance, which is the law of karma, to seek balance and equilibrium in everything we do. Nature seeks an equilibrium. That's why in California we have many earthquakes. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to work things out here, I think.
Well, you must remember whenever you think, you create energy, and it'll either be harmonious or discordant.
Well, it is. What we attract is the way we color it sets up the and generates that karma. So every thought, action, and deed we generate indeed sets up some force in motion. And that we, through the ideas of karma and reincarnation, are given the opportunity to come back here to work out the lessons we need to achieve this balance. When we are in balance, everything, all aspects of our nature will be in balance, and we will become the pinnacles of evolution, living gods on earth.
The godly being that we are.
Yes, it's here all the time. We just
Jesus was talking about that. You indeed have the power to move mountains, and that's because you have gained this balance and this control over the world that you live in.
Jesus in John 6:2 said he often spoke of his previous eternal existences, and he stated, "You shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before." You know, there are many subtle statements throughout all the teachings of the world, whether it's Christianity or any of the other ideas and other religions, that are there if people just want to read them and see them and experience what is really being said and implied. There's a story in the Bible in which Jesus takes his disciples up to the mountain where he transformed himself into this glowing being of light. And we have so much information regarding Dr. Moody's work and Dr. Stevenson's work and Kenneth Ring's book of the transcendental experience that happens in the near-death experience in which these people at death see what's been now termed this being of light that is all-loving, that is non-judgmental, that is here to teach us in death the choices and the major choices we made throughout our life, and we are asked to reevaluate again. Did we make indeed the best choice that we could at the time? It's a loving learning experience. There's no judgment at all.
Well, one of my favorite stories is from a dear friend of mine, and I'm not telling anything out of school because he talked about it here one night. He was a NFL football player. In fact, he was a center for the Rams. His name is Art Hunter. Art went on, left the Rams, and went to the Cleveland Browns, I think it was. And it was one of those plays where the entire opposing team keyed in on Art. And they carried him off the field. And he left his body. And he went down the tunnel to the light. And they were, you know, ready to... Art was all over. He got near the end, and he was told, "You can't do this. You go back, but don't play football anymore." And he got up off the stretcher and put on his civilian clothes and never played another bit of football, although he's still very involved with the league, but he doesn't play right now. He's an extremely fine stockbroker down in Newport Beach.
Many people who have had this near-death experience, their lives have indeed been changed. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been told to go on and do things or not do things. Many of them are told it is not your time yet.
Right, right.
Some people are so critical that they're asked, do they want to go back?
Sometimes you don't
Many
want to.
People do not want to go back because they have now learned that the real heaven is really in the after-death states, and basically
That's
the
home.
Hard work is right here on Earth,
That's
living
home
life.
Over there, and we came to school on this side. Okay, let's go to William. Hello, William.
Hello. I just wanted to come back to one of the previous subjects that had been discussed about the gurus as relates to reincarnation. One of the philosophies that I've heard is that we often come back to a society that is in a state of evolution that fits our life where we left it previously in another society, possibly. And one of the things I've noticed about this society is many of the Orthodox religions try to tell you that God is somewhere out there and you are a separate entity from God and you are a separate being. And I think maybe one of the reasons for having a guru is to lead a person past the stage of their evolvement where they have to feel that they are indeed separate from the knowledge. Once you become part of the knowledge again and reunite with that knowledge that is out there, you don't need the guru because you're part of it. But at this particular stage of evolvement, you have to have somebody else to tell you because maybe it's not part of you.
Well, let's look at it this way. We choose what we need for ourselves at that moment. If people need to follow a guru, they needed it at that time. When they don't need it anymore, they don't do it anymore. Whether it's a guru or whether it's a relationship or anything else.
Or a book.
Or a book. So people get what they need when they need it. The problem with today is, at least in the Western world, there's so many choices to make that people have to sometimes take the very long way around to get to the basic understanding, as you said earlier, that we are ourselves divine individuals, that we have the potential within us and we don't need a middleman between us and that absolute principle within us.
I think a lot of times, maybe, though, people are afraid that they don't need one.
Don't need a middleman.
Right.
Well,
shouldn't be afraid of that.
it could be either way.
Quite great. When you realize that you don't need the middleman, but you are now going to have to exercise responsibility and determination to become the spiritual person that you were to be, or to bring on to yourself the nature, character, and personality of the Divine One. That is a responsibility of yours, and only you can do that. No guru can do that for you. Nor can any system of ceremony, rote, or ritual. That's yours, and you have to take the responsibility. A lot of people do not want to do that take that responsibility unto themselves. They'd rather do little showy things and then go along being the sub-celestial.
That's what I found about this particular society today.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Okay, William?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for contributing to that.
Thank you.
And we have Marina, or is it Mariana?
Marina.
Marina. Hi,
yes.
Marina.
Good evening.
Hi.
I wanted to ask you a question. I do not understand the function of knowing what you have been in your previous lives.
We don't either.
What good can you do anybody to know, for instance, that if they have been a king? Because it seems like most of the time they are always such a tremendous personality in the past life.
We agree.
What good does it do to know that today, because it doesn't seem like we apply what we have learned, or do we?
No, we agree with you here that it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to remember details.
It's garbage information.
Of who we were, because it just clutters us up and we can't deal with the now.
Uh-huh.
We get too lost in the details of the past to the point where people don't live in the present.
Right.
There are some cases in past life therapy where there have been some physical or mental impairments that are brought over from a previous life, and once you understand that it's from a previous life, it usually goes away in this life, you know, and so perhaps there's some good there.
Yes, there are fears and phobias that people have that stop them from functioning adequately in their present life, and once that's understood and resolved, the people can be free to deal with the now.
And it's amazing how some of these physical problems go away immediately under those conditions.
Oh, so you mean it's mostly for the people who have been tormented in the past life?
No. We're saying that sometimes people, let's say a child who has a severe fear of walking in the street, for whatever reason it may be, that sometimes that fear comes from a past life. Once they understand that it has nothing to do with the life now, they can overcome the fear. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So that there's no point in dwelling on things of the past, because in actuality, what you are and what I am and all of us here are at this very moment is a composite of all of our past lives.
And how many lives can anyone have?
You can live as many as you need.
Really?
Well, there are people say you only have 7 incarnations. If somebody says you only live once. Reincarnation and the ideas say that it's a cyclical pattern that is forever going on, and that we've all had thousands of incarnations here on Earth.
It doesn't necessarily mean that all of them have to be on Earth.
Right. Well, no, are other planets of evolution going on, but those of us who are here on Earth are assigned to planet Earth for this lesson.
Oh, I see.
We're here.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you aboard. And Joseph, you're on.
Yes, Bill. I'd like to speak to your guest as to what she may know regarding someone who has made the transition and finds his level on the other side, and how real is it to the soul or to the
That's a very good concept. From all of the research we've done, and it's been confirmed by some bodies of esoteric knowledge, that the after-death states are as real and as vivid as what we experience here. But it's an individualized experience. People describe that they see friends and relatives, but in actuality, they're living out, their mind has become three-dimensional. We're explaining things that are very hard to understand, that our mind can be three-dimensional in another plane of existence.
Yes, I understand.
But it is as real as you want it to be, as it is now. If you want to see cities and lights, the experiences of people that we had on the near-death experiences say that they have seen cities of light. That they see people, they see entities, they understand that they're people.
Well, I've talked to Bill before. The last time I talked to him, he had Edgar Casey's...
Bill Casey, yeah.
He was your guest, and I called you when I told you that about my contacts and about the errors that existed in the published reports of Casey saying that the great movements of the Earth will begin.
Well, Edgar didn't strike it. Bat a thousand.
Do you remember when I told you that?
Yes.
That it was reversed.
Mm-hmm.
It was not 68. It was 86. And take note of what's been happening in the past 2 months.
There's been a lot of shaking going on here.
Edgar Casey was one of the true seers, of our time.
Yes, he was.
But there were earlier ones, as we well know. There's been many shows on Nostradamus. There's been many prophets. There's been many things said as to the future of the planet. The problem,
George Washington wasn't bad either.
Yes. There was a very interesting article called The Adepts in America in 1776 that was written in Volume 1 of The Theosophist, I believe by Blavatsky herself, and it explained the symbology between the eye and the pyramid on the dollar bill and these great beings and what their purpose was. Lincoln, Washington, and others were indeed great teachers.
And the Masons. They were all members of the secret society.
All of the founding fathers were of a metaphysical bent, if you want to give them a thing.
Exactly.
They were not religionists.
Benjamin Franklin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Benjamin Franklin, especially. I mean, who goes flying a kite in the middle of the night in a rainstorm?
Well, Benjamin did a lot of interesting things.
Yeah, he certainly did. Listen, Bill, what do you think about that? It was kind of amazing to me that it began in 86. And when I talked to you, I think it was
That was last year.
December of 85.
Yes, when Jess Stearns and Bill Casey
yes,
were here.
Do you remember when I called? And,
yes, I do.
And I told you it's reversed, and that's what I got? He says it's not.
Well, the final chapter on the earthquake swarms has not been written yet.
Well, I know, and I came to California.
I've been getting other stuff that I'd like to talk to you about regarding the same thing and what's going to be, and let's see if it does happen just the way I've been getting it.
Well, anyway, I came to California in 1977, and I was here, I think, less than 1 week, and they had that very big earthquake in San Diego. And so California's been shaken a lot since I've been here.
You should have been in Granada Hills in 1971.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, but beware of the witch's night, is what is pretty close to something that I got.
All right, Joseph.
As far as some... you know, some heavy shaking going to take place or begin to take place.
Well, I like to look at it from the lesson that needs to be learned, that if there is this major devastation that may happen to the planet, why is it happening? And it's to bring us back to the purpose that we have to act as one, non-separateness.
Well, how about the influx of souls coming in at such a great rate.
You know why? Wouldn't you want to be where the action is?
I know, but maybe the purpose of destruction is just to take them all out at once when they get too overwhelming for.
Well, you know, it could be overpopulated on the other side right now in the Earth plane.
Oh, no, it could never be because that's where most of us are anyway.
That's home over there.
Yeah, that's right. Most of us are over there.
That's true.
Few of us are here.
That's a good understanding of beings assigned to planet Earth for this period of evolution.
Yeah.
And that it's true, there are many souls out of incarnation waiting to be here on Earth, and that's why there's no such thing as a population explosion. We don't know all of history of this planet. We only know what is available in recorded history.
Right.
Right now, this population that we have today, which is supposedly the largest ever, may indeed not be at all.
Well, they claim that by the turn of the century, which is, what, 15 years, that they're going to double once again the...
Well, I don't think we're going to have 10 million people on the planet by the year 2000, because we have 5 million now.
Well, then.
But we can handle a lot more if we take care of our resources. And with that, we're going to have to have to stop for the moment and take a break. For ABC News, with me is Kerry Williams. It's Open Mind on a Samarine, and we have it on the table. We have it on the table for you. And Gladys, it's your turn to get on the table. Welcome aboard.
Well, goodie for me.
Uh-huh.
Bill, I wanted to ask Mrs. Williams if she had been prompted in her search on reincarnation by any either personal or near-personal experience. In other words, the reason I'm asking is because I had an experience with my daughter, and my daughter was not brought up on any belief in any particular thing.
Well, I wasn't brought up on any belief in reincarnation either, but from a very young age, I tried to understand why there was such separateness in the world. And I also had my own personal little experiences that no one could explain to me until I was 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally went to every kind of church you could imagine looking for my answers,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't find them until I was walking down a street in New York City on 72nd Street, and I read a back of a periodical that said that I made a declaration that it wasn't an organization, and I made a commitment to my own higher self,
mm-hmm.
and that there were no dues and fees. And I said, higher self, something sounds right. And then the next window had an article opened the first time I ever read the word reincarnation was when I was 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very fortunate enough to find this body of knowledge at the United Lodge of Theosophists, which showed for me the universality and the symbology of all the world religions. And as I went to meetings and found out that everything was impersonal, no one was trying to be famous there, that many great thinkers of our world had indeed come across the same body of information that I did, including Einstein, Freud, Jung, many, many. And theosophy is nothing new. Theosophia means seeker of divine wisdom or wisdom of the gods. And when Blavatsky founded this over 100 years ago, it was said that it was just the current restatement of the ancient, old, immortal truth that had existed since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very happy when I found some information that could help me understand and explain some of the things that had happened to me when I was very, very young. And I, as a teacher from New York City, I saw a lot of my students overdosing and being quite lost and unhappy with their lives, and I became a colleague with Sylvia Cranston, and we decided that we would write this most recent book to talk to the general reader in a narrative type of way, giving explanations that are not our personal opinions but based upon history and fact and scientific data, to help people choose for themselves possible other alternatives that may also give them answers. And so people, I think, there are young children, I bump into them all the time on the street, 2 years old, 3 years old, and I'll ask them, who were you? And they will give me an answer, and their parents will be absolutely amazed.
Yes.
And many children, according to our research with I cite Dr. Stevenson because he's one of the most credible researchers in the scientific community today. He's one of the rare individuals that's been published by the Journal of Nervous and Mental Diseases and approved by an American Medical Association journal for research on reincarnation. And so for people who say, where's the scientific information, I have to turn them towards the research of this one gentleman. But his cases are so fascinating, and the information that he portrays is so helpful, that parents who can't understand why their children have certain affinities can look into the idea that this child has come with many attributes and talents, like maybe your daughter who believes in this idea or has accepted this idea as being valid for her, and there's nothing wrong with it. And people find out things when they're ready.
Well, I was introduced to reincarnation through reading Emmett Fox. Originally, and but my daughter is now 42 years old, and possibly 6 years ago, we were driving in the car, and we came to a railroad crossing that had flashing lights. The lights were not flashing, but my daughter came to a dead stop, and then went on across the track. And I said, do you mind telling me why you stopped at that railroad crossing? And very seriously, she turned around. She said, yes, because I was killed in a railroad accident in my last life.
Yeah, some people remember very well.
She said I was between 5 and 6 years old, and I was walking from one car to another and fell down between the cars.
Yes. Well,
and it's very real to her.
I know. In Stevenson's research, he's found many children who remember how their lives ended. And they remember the names of their parents, their friends, their family, everything that
mm-hmm.
you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the strongest evidence we can present for that memory does exist beyond just the physical body. It survives death.
Well, I think that's the greatest work you are doing, is to help people to realize that the greatest gift that God ever gave us was free choice.
Yes.
And that whatever we sow, we shall reap.
I agree.
It isn't anything that bothers God.
Right. Well, to me, the most harm that's done to people's own evolution is when the responsibility for their lives have been taken away.
Their personal responsibility, that's right.
Right.
And I think it's what we are moving toward, and hopefully we'll move further toward that, because it will solve many of the ills of the world.
Oh, I hope so, too.
All right.
Yes.
Gladys, thank you very much
and
for contributing. Appreciate that very much.
Have a, well, I love your program.
Well, I love you, too.
Thank you. Good night.
I have the nicest audience in the world.
Yes, you do. Very thoughtful people.
I listen. They will provoke you. You know, one of my... Baranowski, who works out of the University of Arizona at Mesa. Which probably turned my head as much as anything about reincarnation. Now, I came up out of a very fundamental Christian religion in Texas. And we don't get much more fundamental than we have down there. But Dr. Baranowski is a hypnotist. But he used the hypnotist primarily to help you if you were overweight and all of that sort of thing. And a young lady was brought to him who was having all kinds of problems. Her husband had left her, and she had gotten overweight and was drinking and smoking and didn't know why and all of that. And so he started working with her in hypnotherapy for this sort of thing. Shortly thereafter, they went to Hawaii. He went to Hawaii. He was doing a series of lectures over there, and a group of the people who were around him at the university said, this is a great time. So they got one of those tours to go together, and everybody went to Hawaii and see his lectures and see Hawaii. And they went out to the Arizona. And all at once, she became hysterical and said, don't you see the zeros? They're coming in to get us. And was reliving the attack on the Arizona at Pearl Harbor. And he realized that something was wrong with her, took her back and began then regressing her back into a past life. Try to make this long story short. And she started telling the story of being Seaman John, a young man by the name of John Gillespie. Now, she was 22 years old at the time and living outside of Phoenix, Arizona, and had never been any place else other than that. Gave the name, the address, the location of his family. He grew up in the late 30s. It was Depression time. He wanted to help his family because there was very little money. Tried to get into the Army. They wouldn't let him because he was too young. He lied and got into the Navy. He wanted to send the money back and help the family the best way he could. Described his whole movement up to Bremerton, to Long Beach, to San Diego, and finally to Pearl Harbor. Gave names, facts, figures, all kinds of things that were going on in Hawaii at the time, and then described the attack on Pearl Harbor and his own death on board the USS Nevada. It took a long time because a lot of the buildings and the bars and the people and the things were gone that he was talking about, or she was talking about. But a group of investigators from the Orange County Sheriff's Department, in fact, found that these old bars did exist at that time. Even more important was he gave the roster of the Nevada, everybody that was on board. The records of the Nevada were sealed as of December 7th, 1941. And with the help of the representative of and the senator from Arizona and the Secretary of Navy, they opened up the records, the sealed records of the Nevada. And everybody's name was there except John Gillespie's.
Mm-hmm.
But the number was there, but the name was gone. The reason that she divorced her husband is that she is the one who would, or he left her. She's the one who fixed the car. She's the one who mowed the lawn. She's the one who did all of that. And Seaman John Gillespie was an engineer on the Nevada.
Oh. Well, the stories like that happen. We have many of them. Matter of fact, Lord Mountbatten funded a lot of research in England called the Bloxham Tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Similar story. There was a book called Lifetimes that came out a few years ago. Similar story of another ship that was sunk at Pearl Harbor. And this one individual did remember the sinking of the ship. He was on it.
Mm-hmm.
Also gave the roster. Funny, we had cited the research, but the name of the ship had been changed.
Mm-hmm.
And we had people calling us in all the time saying, this is incorrect. I was at Pearl Harbor when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that wasn't the way it went. Then we had to write back. Frederick Lenz wrote Lifetimes.
Yes.
And that his publisher had him change the name of the ship to make it more phenomenal, the story.
Yeah.
And then, you know. But anyway, in Lord Mountbatten's research, there was a gunner's mate that was killed aboard ship. And Bloxham was regressing people, this one man, and he remembered losing his leg and then dying at sea. The problem that happened was people who sometimes hypnotically regress and do remember past life, once I call this window or door, whatever you want to call it, that is opened, it's sometimes very hard to close, and it's just like people who have a problem with LSD,
mm-hmm.
flashbacks. all of a sudden they're caught between two lives.
Right.
One minute they're on the ship reliving their death, and the next minute they're in who they are now. And that's why it's very hard to tell people to go to a regressionist, because there's a great danger once that door is open. That's why I said when we're ready, we'll experience the opening of these past lives, because we can handle it. We can deal with it and put it in perspective and not be affected by it.
And, of course, in this case of this girl, she ought to once started experiencing it when she got into that environment of Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
And so something had to be done there,
yes,
or she would have gone crazy.
Well, no, I understand. That's why people like Thelma Moss and other people will regress people when they cannot function in the life they're in now.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff that goes on in the world around us. Okay, let's see what fascinating thing Charles has for us. Hi, Charles.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Yes, this is quite fascinating. Please bear with the noise out here.
Okay.
Down on the shore and open air phone.
Well, we're putting up a lot of noise here. So.
All right. Let's come in if we can. And I do not know the name of your guest. I just picked up on it about 20 minutes ago.